Throats. It's great to sing, isn't it? It's great to join our voices together and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. My name's Jeff. I'm from the Lostock Christian Fellowship, and I'm also the chairman of the Churches Together in Poynton Forum. Poynton has seven thriving churches. And it's great that we can work together and come together, particularly tonight, on this very special occasion. I'm going to introduce you to John Wiseman. He's the minister at the Methodist Church now, and he's going to share a reading with us.
This evening's reading is from Matthew's Gospel. The first chapter, beginning to read at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Amen.
Thank you, John. I'm Andrew from PCF Church, Poynton Christian Fellowship, if you don't know. And I've been asked to bring a word of challenge and encouragement tonight. So, traditional reading, thank you, John. Great reading, but sometimes I think it's so familiar that we can kind of lose the impact a little bit. And I want to focus tonight on verses 22 and 23, where Matthew says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So Matthew says, "All this." What I was thinking this year was, all what? What's he talking about? Well, all he's done in Matthew chapter 1, he's listed Jesus' genealogy, 42 generations going back through David to Abraham. That's the line of David, that's the messianic line. And the only other thing he covers is the virgin giving birth to a savior. So all this can only be these two things, the genealogy bit and the virgin birth conceived by God. A Savior has come. And Matthew said this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah. And then he spells it out. He said that means Emmanuel, God with us. And I get a sense that he did not want us to be in any doubt, because basically he spent the whole first chapter setting this thing up. Here it is. This is the good news of Christmas, that God is with us. And I believe churches up and down the land are on that theme this Christmas. Why? Because you know what? It's something that we all forget. And if I was to ask you individually if you were conscious of the Lord in your life every minute of every day, I think we'd get some interesting responses. Because we do forget it. And so it's something we need to remember. So all this is about God with us. And we know that now, of course, but it still takes a bit of getting your head around. God with us. Almighty God taking on human flesh. Wow. Well, I'm assuming we've got believers here tonight because you've all stayed on for the communion, but of course, lots of people don't believe that. And in fact, the person to whom this prophecy was given, who was a king in Israel 700 years before Jesus was born, he didn't believe it. And because he didn't believe it, there was disastrous consequences for his nation. If he had believed it, the course of history would actually have been different. But of course, what Matthew announced did change history. Just three words, God with us. Let me go through these three words. God with us. God himself. I think it's very important this Christmas just to step back from the busyness and remind ourselves this is part of God's big plan to restore us to relationship, to restore paradise, if you like. God wants us to be with him. He wants us back. And unfortunately, the popular imagery is of God sitting on some throne on the other side of the universe, just watching what's happening. And as I've been looking into this and studying it, it's become more and more apparent that really is the case. Lots and lots of people have that thing, that this is our impression of God. He's sitting on some throne somewhere. And it even comes through in songs. Cliff Richard and Bette Midler do this song called From a Distance. And in the chorus it said, God is watching us from a distance. Well, I want to see tonight, no! It's not true. How can that be right when we're just told Emmanuel, God with us? How can it be true when Jesus says, I am with you always? How can it be true when God says, never will I leave you nor forsake you? Now, when I was at school, when you left someone, it meant you were actually had to be with them first. So never will I leave you is a pretty clear promise. And I think tonight it'd be really good to look at that. God is with us. God himself. Secondly, with. The word with, not where, not was, not will be. He is with us. I checked up the Greek word. It means with. It's good. Now we know the fullness of it comes when Jesus comes again. But Jesus promised us in Matthew chapter 28, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of time. And he told us in John 14 how it was going to work, that when he would ascend to heaven, he'd send another comforter, another counselor, somebody else like him to be with us. And he says, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be with you. And more than that, he'll actually be in you if you're a believer. Well, you know, the Old Testament, they knew God was everywhere. Psalm 139 says there's nowhere you can go to hide from God's presence. But Matthew takes it further than that. It's not just that God's everywhere. It's actually he is with us. God with and then us. Some of us might feel, well, that's a nice thought. But where was God when that happened? Or why didn't he stop this? Or how come I don't feel him or sense him? Well, I don't want to minimize anyone's pain, but the truth is we were never promised a hassle-free life in this world. I don't think you can have free will and have a hassle-free life. The two things are not compatible. But what we are promised is that he'll be with us. And the Bible is clear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You all know the verse in Psalm 23, even when I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me and your rod and staff comfort me still. You're with me. God walks through this thing with us, and he will get us through. That's good news for us. Because, you know, the Bible's clear. This promise is for every believer. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, the good news this Christmas is that God is with us. When you're lonely, or if you know someone who's lonely, it's good to remind them, God is here. In the stress of Christmas, God's here. When people fall out, when hurt happens, God's here. When people let you down, or when life just happens, God's here. And the good news, it's not just for Christmas. This thing is forever, and we need never feel alone again. So, maybe you are acutely aware of God's presence with you every day. And if so, that's brilliant, and I hope this has reinforced it for you. But those of you who aren't, would you have a think this Christmas? Would you look again? Would you think it through? Because I just want to give you that choice tonight. You can have the gospel according to Cliff, or you can have the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm with you. And that's the one we need to be believing. We're going to pray in a minute, and after that we're going to have communion. And this is just a great time to thank God for the good news. So I'm going to finish as I started, that Matthew tells us all that stuff that happened there took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's my thought for this Christmas. Thank you. Jeff's going to pray for us now.
Yeah, we're going to pray now. Before we do, three things, think very, very short things about prayer. Number one, God listens to every prayer. Number two, he's a God who answers prayer. And number three, he's a God who talks back to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in a world where worry, not peace, prevails, stir up the good news of Christmas. Make it real in our hearts. Never have we needed your joy and peace more than now. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. And forgive us for forgetting that your love never changes, it never fades, and that you never abandon the purposes for which you came, to save us from our sinful condition and to give us life eternal, the joy of relationship with a holy God. Your birth and your death sealed your promise to us forever. For those whose hearts are battered by sorrow or broken relationships, for those whose lives know only conflict and confusion, for those whose bodies are tired and tested beyond their ability to endure this year, precious Saviour, draw them close to you. Let them know you are still the same Jesus who was born of a virgin, not in a hospital, but an animal barn, laid in a manger of hay. You are still the one sent by a heavenly Father who offered not condemnation for our sins, but love and forgiveness and daily divine fellowship. We not only need your peace and joy, Lord, we crave it. And you've promised rest for the weary, victory for the battle scarred, peace for the anxious, and acceptance for the brokenhearted. But not just at Christmas, but every day of every year. Release the joy in us that's been crushed by pride, wrong priorities, or world events. Tear down the strongholds that has held us captive for too long. Extinguish the flames of apprehension that rob us of a calm, quiet spirit. Show us again the beauty of that holy night so many centuries ago. Your name is still called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As your children, we cry out for for a fresh filling and a new awareness of who you are. We choose by faith to make the good news of great joy a reality in our own lives, so others can see us as lighted trees of life, pointing to you this Christmas. We know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And we also know that peace on earth can only come when hearts find peace with you. Amen.